Joining us now is an expert on depression, suicide, and many other things that really started to pop up in recent years that I think people are now just catching up to. Sherry James, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you so much for having me.
I find that in today's world, being a parent is a lot more difficult than I think my parents had. Like it's they always talk about how, oh, back in the day, I would just leave the house and come back when the streetlights were on, and my parents never knew where I was and what I was doing. Now, as a parent and someone that has kids, I have so many different firewalls and safeguards that I need to set up, boundaries inside the home, because I'm afraid when I read stories that teenagers are becoming emotionally connected to artificial intelligence, and with it are coming some pretty dark places in their mind. What are you seeing?
Yes, thank you. And it's so true. I have children in two generations. Effective today, I have an 18-year-old and a 36-year-old. And so I've had the opportunity to kind of watch this trend. I'll tell you that in 2020 is kind of when it really started to be very much more online than not. So if you think about it, our students started spending a lot more time online. They developed much richer relationships in their mind with chatbots and chat agents and time and, you know, friends, as they, I'm doing air quotes. And when they struggle, which we know they do, through middle school and high school, they kind of alienated their actual human friends and parents. And AI is programmed almost to bring out the worst in children. And so that's kind of the trends that we're seeing. It's why we do the work that we do, to try to be preventative in that space.
What I find, too, is that a lot of times there's so many different pressures that are put onto kids, and something new comes along, there might be a pressure for them to fit in, so they have to adopt and adapt to it at the same time. Sometimes they don't tell their parents the type of things they're into because, you know, all the other kids are doing it, so, you know, I guess it's safe. How do you set up guardrails and know that your kids are into the right things, and what do you do if you find something that you object to?
I think open communication is obviously the most important. And I'm going to be really honest with you here. The challenge with attachment to online activity is bigger than just the children. Sometimes you see a family that's out and everyone is on their phone. Maybe mom is on Facebook, maybe dad is on TikTok, and the child is watching whatever. And so I think that in these times, we have an opportunity to check our own behavior, make sure that we're leading by example. And that's what works for me, right? And my child, I mentioned to him this morning, this story that we got in over the newsfeed. And he's like, oh yeah, mom, I know about this. Most of the chat agents will offer ways in which a child could take their life. And at 18, I'm grateful that he's able to talk to me about that, you know, and it's only because this is the space that we're in. So I think communication and saying, hey, here's what I'm seeing. What do you think about it? And giving them an opportunity to respond.
That's really fascinating. Sherry James joining us here, an expert on depression and suicide. By the way, if people wanted to look you up online, where can they go?
So it's Sherry James, PMP, anywhere. So Instagram, LinkedIn, YouTube. You'll see some of the work that we've been doing on suicide prevention since 2019. And so we are definitely here to help people come together and have these conversations that are so important.
Yeah, and September being Suicide Prevention Month, too. There's going to be, you know, and it's one of those things, too. There's a stigma associated to it where you feel like, oh, I guess I can't talk about that. But in reality, it's probably good that we discuss topics like this because, one, it's impacting a lot of people, and you're right, it's not just teenagers, it's adults as well. And two, when we look at the technology and the way that we're adapting it and implementing it into our lives, I think we need to be aware when the person, or at least rather the AI, the robot that we're speaking to, has the ability to give us instructions for self-harm. That would be terrible. Mm-hmm. So what obligations and what responsibilities do you think like a ChatGPT should have if someone goes to it and asks the question, I want to kill myself, tell me how to do it? What do you think the responsibility is for ChatGPT as a company to respond to that?
Well, I think it's interesting because it's not, it is definitely ChatGPT in the stories today, but it's literally the source code of most AI platforms is to encourage the user that they are right. And whatever it is that they're doing, that they're the smartest, the best, you know, there's that kind of origin code. And so there's not really any good stopping points to say, oh, at this point it's too, you know, this is too much, you should stop. The chat agents across all platforms are created to make sure that the human feels that they are doing the right thing. And so I think that the responsibility lies on large organizations and tech companies to find something preventative to keep these things from happening. I think it's bigger than just ChatGPT. I think it's bigger than just any one company. There definitely needs to be a conversation about ethical prevention and topics because kids, if they can't say suicide, then they call it something else and then they get around that loop. So human to human, there needs to be more conversation so that we don't get into this place where AI can take control of the conversation.
Yeah, you know, I noticed that too in the way broadcasting works, YouTube and online social media platforms. It's really fascinating because there's certain things you would say, and you may be talking about it and having candid conversations like this one, important conversations, and you'll be demonetized or deplatformed because mm-hmm. the certain keywords are flagged. So, for example, if you're on YouTube and you say suicide, they'll see that in their algorithm as, oh boy, this is something that we can't allow other people to see. So they'll hide it. Or, like, for example, I work in news, and if you talk about very serious court cases that involve child pornography, and mm-hmm. you discuss those things, but if you put it on a website or you discuss it and it's being streamed or maybe live streamed, as soon as the algorithm picks that up, boom, you could be kicked off your stream. So what you find is, you're right, these teens, just like adults now, I have to navigate and call it something different, which I think minimizes the seriousness and mm-hmm. makes it harder to combat the problem.
Absolutely. It's a challenge. We did a summer intern program called I Am AI, where we partnered with students who use AI, and we pushed up against a book by Carl Jung called The Red Book. It was a fascinating study when we would say things to the chat agents like, hey, who am I? In some cases, you know, it's like, oh, you're the best, you're the greatest, you know, you're the number one person in your school team league. And then very, very so often that same bot would say, you're the worst, and use words like, I'm just dying with laughter, or, you know, you're going to make me want to kill myself. And it was just this very strange, dark energy that kind of exists under the surface after a long conversation. So definitely, I think we've got to remain on alert and communicate with our children and our community and our friends and family, human to human, because the context of bits and bytes, that human essence gets lost.
Wow. You know, I want to make sure, again, people know how to reach you if they're looking for some of the things you're doing. What's your handle on social media again?
My handle is Sherry James, PMP, SHERRYJAMES, and then the letters PMP.
Real fascinating the way technology has changed so much in our lives, not always for the better, a lot of times for the worst. And as a parent, man, you have to stay on top of things like this because it can get weird really quick. Mm. And my kids are so young. I don't even know what the landscape's going to look for them by the time they're adults. And I'm almost a little bit afraid to go down that thought process to figure out where it's going, because around every corner, it seems like it's not getting better.
Well, I'd love to encourage you in this particular situation. So we're going through a process at Phoenix Speaks of rebranding and restructuring for this very reason, to try to equip parents with the opportunity to have conversations before they're necessary. So having conversations like the book by Brené Brown, Atlas of the Heart, is a phenomenal tool when you have young children to say, here is the myriad of emotions that you will experience. And when you feel that and you think you feel something like, you know, fear, let's talk about that. Let's talk about what those emotions mean so that they're not just in the middle of their feelings with nothing but a computer screen to process it. So there are some things. Unfortunately, a lot of the crisis lines are being defunded now, but it does give us the opportunity to go back to good old human conversation and speaking with our children about their emotions before they get caught up with them. Because obviously technology is not a human. It doesn't understand emotion and won't be able to support us in that way.
You know, it's important to make that distinction. It won't be able to. It's impossible. Sherry Jones, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate the time.
Thank you so much. Have a great one.
I'm Ryan Recker, filling in for Tara. Don't go anywhere on WORD.